Hello, true believers, and welcome to episode 8 of the Face Front podcast. And today we're going to be talking about It's All Connected, Jeff Loeb's catchphrase that he had for so long when talking about the TV side of Marvel. And we're going to be talking about the beginning, what's going on now, my theory later, and where it all could end up in the future. But first, I just want to have you all reminded that part 3 of the Oscorp conspiracy is going on the Facefront blog, so make sure you check that out. You can win some pretty cool prizes. Part 2 didn't go too well, not a lot of people contributed, and we lost, so do better next time. Alright, now, let's get to this. Marvel TV, It's All Connected. Now, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, when it first started, back in 2013, a lot of people were expecting, you know, well, when's Tony Stark gonna show up? You know, when's Steve Rogers gonna try and help the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents out? A lot of people, including me, you know, we all had that expectation that this is a show that takes place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so everything should be, you know, connected. We should be seeing close, direct crossover between the movies and the show. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it did start like that. You know, it did spawn off of the Avengers, and it leaned really heavily on the Avengers, and Iron Man 3 had come to Blu-ray the same day that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. aired on TV. I remember distinctly because I bought the Blu-ray, and then I went home and watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first time. And the first episode, they dealt with the Extremis, and then they were cleaning up after Thor the Dark World, and the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Winter Soldier. Really, not only did it destroy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s premise, but it kind of forced the show in a completely new direction. So, the show was closely tied with the movies in the beginning, you know, but people were like, okay, so, you know, where are the big names? Like, we got Lady Sif. We got Nick Fury in a few episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., and people started to notice that, okay, well, nothing from the TV side is ending up in the movies, you know. But as time went on, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of cemented itself into what it is now, and it started creating stories that, you know, we care about beyond just the MCU connection, which is why, you know, when Season 4 rolled around, they were like, Ghost Rider's coming, and nobody had anything to say, because it's Ghost Rider, and they were able to get him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they really got us to care about the characters. Fitzsimmons, Quake, Ward, I can't tell you how many times Ward has come back, but that's the thing that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. accomplished, is it started out, it spawned off from the Avengers, and then it grew to create its own thing. And over time, we became okay with it. Well, the people that stuck with it. I know a lot of people fell off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the beginning, but I've been watching since episode 1. It's my favorite show on television. I know that I have kept up with it, and a lot of other people have kept up with it. Agent May, in one of the episodes, did make a kind of meta joke about saying that we have a small but loyal following. She was talking about the actual fans of the show. There is a small but very loyal following of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, every Comic-Con, Jeff Loeb, who's the main producer on the TV side of Marvel, he would go out on the stage and he'd say, it's all connected, it's all connected. Every time somebody would say, hey, when's Coulson showing up in the Avengers movies? He'd say, oh, it's all connected, don't worry, you'll get, you know, just wait a second, it's all connected. You know, the connections got weaker and weaker, as evidenced by the Age of Ultron connection. That was just, I mean, you could argue that the Helicarrier showing up in the end was all due to Coulson, but it got to the point where, more recently, I saw an interview with Jeff Loeb, and he said, somebody was asking him about the movie and the TVs, and he said, you're trying to get me in trouble by saying it's all connected. So, even Jeff Loeb himself has moved away from that. And, you know, I think a lot of people have become comfortable with, okay, this is TV, this is movies. Like, we're not going to see Daredevil show up and try and help the Avengers get revenge on Thanos. And it's fine, you know, because the TV shows are taking place in their own universe. But here's the thing. They could... What I've always said is that they could stand to, if they're not going to link the TV and movies that strongly, they could stand to link the TV side a little better. Because if we go over to the Arrowverse for DC, all of those shows take place in the same universe. Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Black Lightning... They're all Legends of Tomorrow. They're all together, and they can cross over any which way they want. But the thing with Marvel is you've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter that are on ABC. You got Runaways on Hulu. You got Cloak and Dagger on Freeform. You got five shows on Netflix. Six if you count The Defenders. You know, Marvel's shows are everywhere, and they're segmented. And so, it's kind of hard to put them all together. But I believe something's coming, which is the whole point to making this podcast episode, because I think it's all connected. Recently, in the most recent Marvel show, Cloak and Dagger, Officer Bridget O'Reilly, who's going to become Mayhem in the next season of Cloak and Dagger, she made a comment. Because she came from Harlem, and I'm like, oh, well, Harlem's in, you know, Luke Cage's joint, that's where he hangs out, but I didn't expect any crossover, because I'm like, okay, well, these shows are kind of in their own universe, and Cloak and Dagger seemed very disconnected from, like, they had yet to make a larger MCU reference, so I'm like, this, they're not gonna do anything with that. But in a later episode, Detective O'Reilly, she says, have I ever told you about my friend Misty? And I'm like, oh, she actually said Misty Knight, like, from Luke Cage. They're going to do this. And then in the next episode, I think it was the next episode. No, it was the episode after. It was the season finale. In the season finale, when Dagger's going after, what was the CEO of Roxxon's name? I can't remember his name right now, but Dagger was going after him. She met him in the elevator, and he says, in this day and age, you have to keep up with the Joneses. And then he goes on to say, as well as the Starks and the Rands. Not only does that draw in the movies, but it draws in the Netflix shows, too. I'm like, he put it all together. He said the Starks and the Rands. And then, from after the season finale of... Cloak and Dagger, the first episode of Runaways aired on Freeform, and I'm like, that's a Hulu exclusive, and they aired it on Freeform right after Cloak and Dagger. So, I don't know what it is, but I think that the TV side is building up towards something big. I think, because even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had, you know, a Judas bullet in one episode from Luke Cage, so there's... But I can't explain it, but I feel it, you know? I know something's about to happen. Something on the TV side that's just going to blow everybody out of the water. And whether it's a stronger connection to the movies or not is not the most important. But if all the shows can connect together, if they can, like, recruit the Defenders in one episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, to go on a mission and stop Hydra, that would be so cool. If Cloak and Dagger could show up to help the Runaways out in an episode or two, that would be nice, you know? These shows have potential to connect the same way the movies do. So, that's what I think is happening here. I think that the TV shows are going to go through this rehaul that is going to make them all closer together. And who knows, we might even get the Inhumans back. Because, I didn't... Okay, I know a lot of people didn't like the Inhumans. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I definitely think they could have done more with the characters they were working with. Like, Black Bolt's voice is the strongest weapon in the Marvel Universe, and he used it, like, twice. And Medusa, they cut her hair in the first episode. They severely underpowered Crystal. Triton was only in two episodes. They could have... And Karnak lost his power for the whole show. They killed Gorgon, and they brought him back, but they killed him. They could have done a lot more with the Inhumans. A lot more. They had golden characters, and they kind of poo-pooed them away. But they left the Inhumans off in a weird place, because they all went to Earth, and their new Atalan, I guess, was being funded by somebody. We never figured out who that was, because the Inhumans got canceled, but... the Inhumans can show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because where are they going to go, plot-wise? Okay, they did Graviton. That was... Episode 3 was when they introduced the Gravitonium, and the season finale of Episode 5 was Graviton, so... They kind of went full circle, they killed off Coulson again, whatever, upset about that, but... I think there's... Potential there to just bring in all the other TV shows that are segmented, separated, ended, because even Agent Carter, which ended, unfortunately, my friend, she loved Agent Carter. Agent Carter showed up in a few episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so why can't the Inhumans? Why can't the Defenders? Why can't the Runaways? So the TV shows, I think, are going to start building on each other. Next, I want to get to my big theory that I actually came upon a while ago, but I'm just now getting around to announcing it. Some things you're right, and some things you just gotta talk about, and I gotta talk about this one. So, it was in Season 1 of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode called Tahiti, when Agent Coulson is learning about the Tahiti Project, and he breaks into that bunker and figures out that he was brought back to life using Kree alien DNA from a dead Kree, which caused him to start writing the symbols on the wall, which eventually led to the Inhuman City. What was that one called? It was something like Paradise. Ooh, it's gonna come to me later. Afterlife, that was it. It led him to that Inhuman City Afterlife, and which eventually grew into the Inhumans TV show, you saw the writing on the wall in the Inhumans TV show, but, because the Kree created the Inhumans, basically. But here's the thing I'm saying. Where did S.H.I.E.L.D. get a Kree? Yeah, think about that for a second. They just had a dead Kree laying in a bunker underground, and they used its DNA to bring Coulson back to life. Where did they get that Kree? You know, the Kree created the Inhumans and dropped the Terrigen off centuries ago. They hadn't been to Earth since. So where did they get a Kree? Captain Marvel. We know that the movie takes place in the 90s. We know that S.H.I.E.L.D. is heavily involved. We know that Agent Coulson is in the movie, so... And we also know she's fighting the Kree, and the Skrull, and the Kree-Skrull War. It's perfect. It's perfect. This explains everything. This is where S.H.I.E.L.D. got the Kree that brought Coulson back to life, and whose blood they used to heal Daisy of her fatal wound, which it did. And it just hit me one day. I'm like, that's it. You know? That's where the Kree came from. At some point in Captain Marvel, I was just talking about the connection between the movie and the shows not being so strong, so maybe they won't, like, actually show Fury bagging a Kree and saying, put this in deep storage, but it would be really cool if they did. And, or at least implied, that at some point they captured a Kree and used it to experiment on and figure stuff out about, because then that would directly tie to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I also have another theory about Captain Marvel and the Kree and the Skrull, being a line from Winter Soldier, where Nick Fury says, "Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye." And we know he's going to have both eyes in Captain Marvel. And the whole thing with the Skrull invasion in the Secret Invasion storyline, the whole tagline was, "Who do you trust?" Because anybody could be a Skrull. So I'm thinking a Skrull impersonated someone Fury was close to, and it betrayed him because it's a Skrull and took his eye out, which directly ties to that line in Winter Soldier, "Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye." Because, you know, you can't trust anyone when Skrulls are involved. But yeah, that's my big theory about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and tying into Captain Marvel, I really hope that they're thinking about this, that they noticed this, and that they do something about it. Because the fans have been waiting for the movies to acknowledge the shows for a long time, and, you know, even if, like, Clark Gregg has to say something, because he's in there, he's done 5 seasons of this show, and he's filming the movie, and he's a fanboy himself, so he has to speak up, right, while filming, like, "Hey guys, maybe I could mention Agent May's name here or there, or maybe we can bag a Skrull or a Kree for, you know, when I get brought back to life, yada yada yada." I don't know if they're gonna do it, but if they want to stress this all connected thing, which they long since gave up on, but if they want to reignite it, I think this is the way to go about it. So that's all I'm gonna say for this. The shows, I really, mark my words, you heard it here first, they're gearing up for something. I don't know what, I don't know when, it's gonna be some kind of big crossover, but I swear the shows are gearing up for something. And in terms of the movies, this is it. This is where the Kree came from that brought Agent Coulson back to life. I'm putting money on it. I'm 25 cents. If you know me, I bet really low. And when I bet 25 cents, that means I'm super confident. So that's all for now, true believers. I'm not going to drag on about this. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Get those theories going. And I will see you in the multiverse. Bye-bye.